This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, a broadcast into the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell upon the earth. And certainly it's important for all people, because this program is about the world's greatest single threat, and that is the threat of Jewish supremacism. That may sound quite strange to some of you listening to this program for the first time, but it's amazing the power that these extreme Jews have in the government of the United States, a government that really controls the world's greatest nuclear arsenal, a government that has a budget for defense, so-called defense, and weaponry that is greater than all the other military expenditures of the entire world combined. And yet these individuals, these radicals, have an incredible influence on that government. They've supported the State of Israel, the Zionist State of Israel, that has committed so many terrible crimes and atrocities against the Palestinian people, but have even committed terrorism against the United States of America. Now let me repeat that. They've even committed terrorism against our own country. And you know what? They believe they have the right to do so. They truly believe that they have some sort of divine right to rule over the other peoples of the world, and that in fact, the only reason that that Gentiles or non-Jews even exist is to simply serve the purposes of Jews. That is the entire purpose of creation for some of these extremists. Now, let me give you an example. I just got this out of the Jewish Telegraph Agency, and it's a very interesting little piece, and it goes, Rebbe commemorated at White House. A commemoration of the death of the Lubavitch Rebbe will culminate at a White House briefing. Leaders of both parties in Congress, as well as top Bush administration officials, are attending the two-day tribute to Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, who died June 12, 1994. Theme is education, and speakers include Elie Wiesel, U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, and Australia's Defense Minister. Chertoff and Joshua Bolton, the White House Chief of Staff, who are both Jewish, will attend the White House briefing Wednesday morning. About 30 diplomats joined Lubavitch emissaries to their countries at the events. Thousands of people are expected to gather at Rebbe's grave in New York on the anniversary of his death. And then in another piece, this is even more revealing. It says the White House to Chabad, and it's C-H-A-B-A-D, but pronounced Chabad and Lubavitch. Bush won't press Israel. The Bush administration, this is from, again, the Jewish Telegraph Agency. You can do a Google search and find this article. Bush won't press Israel. The Bush administration will not force Israel into unilateral concessions, top White House officials told representatives of the Lubavitch movement. Chabad Lubavitch culminated in a two-day commemoration of the 12th anniversary of Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson's death, with meetings Wednesday with Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security Secretary, and Joshua Bolton, the White House Chief of Staff. Both men are Jewish. Bolton and other White House officials assured Chabad representatives that President Bush would never force Israel to concede territory to the Palestinians without a quid pro quo, participants said. Bolton said Bush would follow Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, his lead in deciding what concession to support. Of course, quid pro quo, ladies and gentlemen, my God, we've had the entire Palestinian homeland stolen. We've had hundreds of thousands of Palestinians kicked out of their homes, their farms, their businesses. They can't even return home to where they were born and where their families lived for generations. Quid pro quo. It just goes on and on and on. You know, it's just incredible. This article in the GJTA shows that Israel and radical Jews are in so much control over the White House. And in fact, it also shows how much influence they have over the Jewish community itself. Now, the Rebbe, the so-called Rebbe, who headed the Chabad movement and wielded great influence in Israel as well as the United States, is now being honored at the White House. Schneerson, that's his actual name, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and he his sentiment and his spirit is definitely a sneering type of spirit, that's for sure. He's had a lifetime of vicious anti-Gentile writings, and his movement has always equated Gentiles literally as part of the animal kingdom. That's right. According to Rabbi Schneerson and these other Lubavitch followers, we Gentiles are animals. You can't get much more radical than that, ladies and gentlemen. That's talking about all Gentiles, not just the David Dukes of the world, all Gentiles. In his writings, Schneerson explained that, quote, the difference between a Jewish and non-Jewish person stems from the common expression, let us differentiate. Thus, we do not have a case of profound change in which a person is merely on a superior level. In other words, Jews aren't just superior. Rather, we have the case of let us differentiate between totally different species. This is what needs to be said about the body. The body of a Jewish person is totally different quality than the body of members of all nations of the world. A non-Jew's entire reality is only vanity. It is written, quote, and the strangers shall guard and feed your flocks. Well, we sure do feed their flocks, don't we? American taxpayers' money feeds their flocks. The entire creation of a non-Jew exists only for the sake of Jews, unquote. Now, the ideas of Rabbi Schneerson, I'll express some in this article later. They're taken from a book of his recorded messages to his followers in Israel entitled Gatherings of Conversations. They were published in the Holy Land in 1965. And this is no hidden thing. You can go to the Lubavitch website yourself and you can see. And in fact, they even have a section for Christians to read about how Christians must serve Jews. You know, and that's the purpose of Christians. That's the purpose of non-Jews, is to serve Jews. I mean, literally be their servants. It's just, you know, they believe the entire creation of the world is only for the purpose of the Jewish people. That's it. Now, anybody else that said that, if I said anything like this, you know, I'm always accused of being a white supremacist. Obviously, I'm not one. I don't believe that my people should be supreme over anybody else. I simply want to survive. I want my children to grow up in nations that reflect their own qualities and character. In fact, that's what's said that's so right and just about Israel, that Jews should have the right to have their own homeland and to preserve their people, and that the Holocaust was terrible because it was an attempt, an alleged attempt to exterminate them. Well, why? You know, every people really has the right to live, but so do my people have that right. All people have that right. And yet I'm called an extremist or supremacist because of that. Never would I say that non-Gentile people, or they're animals of the world, or Jews. If I called the Jews animals or something like that, could you imagine what the press would do with that? But here you have a man who calls Gentiles animals, and who says that the purpose of Gentiles, all Gentiles, is to serve Jews. That's the whole purpose of, you know, and he's honored by the White House, ladies and gentlemen. One of the spokesmen for the Lubavitch movement, one of the leaders, was Rabbi Ginsburg, and he's from St. Louis. And in one of the biggest, in fact, it's the biggest Jewish newspaper in the United States of America, called the Jewish Press, they have things called halakhic questions, where they answer ideas about the real issues facing Jews. And I've read many of these Jewish Press articles, and it's amazing the anti-Gentile hatred you find here. I will quote to you from it. If you saw two people drowning, a Jew and a non-Jew. Now, this is a quotation direct from the Jewish press from Rabbi Ginsburg. He said, the Torah says you save the Jewish life first. Well, that's not, I guess, not so terrible. People kind of help their own family first, their own friends first, their own nationality first, their own race first. That's kind of normal. But he goes on a little bit further than that. He says, quote, if every simple cell in a Jewish body entails divinity, as a part of God, then every strand of DNA is a part of God. Therefore, something is special about Jewish DNA. Rabbi Ginsburg asked rhetorically, if a Jew needs a liver, can you take the liver of an innocent non-Jew passing by to save him? The Torah would probably permit that. Jewish life has infinite value, he explained. There is something infinitely more holy and unique about Jewish life than non-Jewish life. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a direct quote. Imagine if I turned that around and said, there's something infinitely more holy and unique about a Gentile's life than a Jew's life. And that if it would be all right for me to stop a Jew on the street, an innocent Jew, and take his liver to save an Aryan or a Gentile or a European? I mean, could you imagine? Do you think there'd be an outcry? Do you think that quote would be used against me in every newspaper of the world? But how can the leading Jewish newspaper in the United States run this quote where there's no opposition to it, there's no outcry, there's no condemnation of other Jews who put out the newspaper and who other the Jewish community that this would be in the largest Jewish newspaper in the United States? It just passes without a verb of protest. You know why it passes without any protest? Because it's understood. This is the ultimate supremacism that exists in the world. The ultimate supremacism. And it's a supremacism that is being hidden and kept from the great mass of understanding and people all over the world. It's just incredible. You know, it's just, you know, how in the world, let me ask you a question. How low can our sick politicians like George Bush go in this country? How in the world can the President of the United States have a ceremony for a man who taught that Gentiles, such as himself, George Bush, are animals, that Gentile women are shiksas? Read the Jewish press. Meaning, you know, shiksas in the Jewish lexicon means whores. All Gentile women are whores by the most common word used to express the term for Gentile women, non-Jewish women, is shiksa. That means whore. They even have a term for little Gentile girls. They're called shikselbas, meaning little Jewish whores. This is a fact. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be, you know, called a hater and a bigot for pointing out this hatred. Since when is it hatred to point out when someone acts hatefully and viciously and cruelly and ugly? I mean, it's just amazing, ladies and gentlemen, the hypocrisy. How can an organization that believes the sole purpose of Gentiles is to serve Jews be allowed to officiate at White House prayers? What I'm talking about here is no fantasy. The Chabad Lubavitch movement is one of the most virulent, supremacist, hate organizations in the entire world. And now, this organization is being honored in the White House. Maybe, just maybe, that this fact will help you get an idea of what's going on here. You know, recently, the admissions of the Jewish extremists will never seem to amaze me. And they'll never cease to amaze me, is what I should say. Of course, you know, they face a dilemma. You know, how do they inform their flock of the latest news of their power and at the same time trivialize it for Gentile consumption? At one point, they boast about their influence in government. In the next instance, they deny it. They condemn commentators such as myself and the authors of the recent Harvard paper, the professors Walt and Mearsheimer, for pointing out the enormous influence of Jewish-Israeli extremists in American politics, and in the very next breath, they boast of their own incredible influence. Let me give you some excerpts from an article recently appearing in the Jerusalem Post, one of the most prestigious daily newspapers in Israel and read by considerable numbers of non-Jews. And because of its significant Gentile readership, the Jerusalem Post is far more guarded than, say, the Jewish press. And it's more guarded than other Jewish publications and much more cautious than Hebrew language dailies published in Israel, which can be read by very few Gentiles anywhere in the world. And let's give a short analysis. Let's give a short analysis by noting the headline, the recent headline. And I ran this in the internet just a while back, and the headline ran, "Top White House Posts Go to Jews." Now imagine if Professors Walt and Mearsheim or I came out with a statement or press release titled, Top White House Posts Go to Jews. Or imagine if any member of Congress had the temerity simply to say that, quote, White House policy is now in the hands of Jews. Now if I say it, or you say it, it's anti-Semitism. If Jewish newspapers say it, somehow it's not. Somehow it is anti-Semitic for DavidDuke.com to headline it, but not for the Jerusalem Post. Now notice the first two paragraphs of this article. I will quote them to you. After saying that the White House policy is now in the hands of two Jews, they immediately say that this fact is not seen as significant by activists of the American Jewish community. Here's a quotation. After appointing Joshua Bolten to the White House Chief of Staff, U.S. President George Bush nominated another Jewish staffer, Joel Kaplan, to serve as Bolton's deputy, putting him in charge of the daily policy planning. The fact that the White House policy is now in the hands of two Jews is not seen as significant by activists in the American Jewish community. If White House policy being, quote, now in the hands of two Jews is not significant, then pray tell, why is this major article in the Jerusalem Post in the first place? And truly, can it not be significant that two Jewish partisans for Israel now hold White House policy in their hands? Doesn't it make more sense for the White House policy to be held in the hands of men who are dedicated to the interests of the United States of America and not be affected by the extreme partisanship they have for a foreign country? In the course of the article, many admissions are made. And frankly, the Jewish-influenced White House sounds more like the functioning of the Israeli cabinet than the American executive branch. We hear about Jewish prayers and symbolism, Jewish ethnocentric celebrations such as Purim, this is all in the article, which of course is a celebration of the massacre of Haman and Gentiles who threatened Jews. And we even hear of a Chabad Lubavitch rabbi, Levi Shemtov, teaching the Purim Megillah. Here's the exact words of the Post. One tradition likely to go on is the reading of the Purim Megillah led by Chabad Rabbi Levi Shemtov, who attracts many of the Jewish staffers. Many of the Jewish, they got enough Jewish staffers, they have a whole they have a whole meeting in there. The Purim Megillah is a lesson for Jews that teaches Jews to always stick together and to fight for Jewish interests against Gentiles, to strike down Gentiles who they believe threaten them. That's what the whole story of Purim is about. Is that what the Jewish staffers need to hear, what they want to hear? And what exactly is the Chabad? The Chabad preaches that, quote, all Jews are the sons of God and the Gentiles are a different species with evil souls of an inferior order. It preaches yet the purpose of the very existence of Gentiles is to serve Jews. It preaches that Israel must rule the entire world. A representative of this Jewish philosophy is now gracing our White House, giving prayers and teaching the other Jewish staffers there. Do some of you reading this who are new to the world of Jewish supremacism think I'm making all this up? I mean, it sounds like it must can't be true. Go to the Chabad Lubavitch websites and start researching. And when you find the truth, you'll be on your way to a very much greater understanding of the modern world. For your further reading and enlightenment, here are some of the quotes from the Chabad movement. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, head of the Chabad movement, he yielded great influence and among many religious Jews in Israel as well as in the United States. And he and his followers are Haredim. But nevertheless, they involve themselves in Israel's political life and share many concepts with Gush Emunim and the NRP in Israel, National Religious Party. Very powerful force. The ideas of Rabbi Schneerson that appear, that I will quote to you, are taken from a book, as I said earlier, of his recorded messages to his followers in Israel. Now, what did he teach? I mean, we can go on. Regarding the non-Jew, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's views were clear, even if they were a bit disorderly, I must say. Quote, in such a manner, the halakha, stipulated by the Talmud, showed that a non-Jew should be punished by death if he kills an embryo, even if the embryo is non-Jewish, while the Jew should not, even if the embryo is Jewish. The Rebbe continued, the difference between a Jew and a non-Jewish person stems from the common expression, let us differentiate. Thus, we do not have a case of profound change in which a person is merely on a superior level. Rather, we have a case of let us differentiate between a totally different species. This is what needs to be said about the body. The body of a Jewish person is of a totally different quality than the body of members of all nations of the world. However, it is so great that the bodies should be considered as completely different species. This is another quote. This is the reason why the Talmud states that there is a halakhic difference in attitude about the bodies of non-Jews as opposed to the bodies of Jews. Quote, their bodies are in vain. An even greater difference exists in regard to the soul. Two contrary types of soul exist. A non-Jewish soul comes from three satanic spheres, while the Jewish soul stems from holiness. This is continuing the quotations of the man they're honoring at the White House. We therefore ask, why should a non-Jew be punished if he kills even a non-Jewish embryo, while a Jew should not be punished even if he kills a Jewish embryo? The answer can be understood by considering the general difference between Jews and non-Jews. A Jew was not created as a means for some other purpose. He himself is the purpose, since the substance of all divine emanations was created only to serve the Jews. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. It means that the heavens and the earth were created for the sake of Jews, who were called the beginning. This means everything, all developments, all discoveries, the creation, including the heavens and the earth, are vanity compared to the Jews. The important things are the Jews. Because they do not exist for any other aim, they themselves are the aim. A non-Jew's reality is only vanity. It is written, and the strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The entire creation of a non-Jew exists only for the sake of Jews. Now, regarded as one of the Lubavitcher sect's leading authorities in the Jewish mysticism is the St. Louis-born rabbi, as I mentioned earlier, Rabbi Ginsberg. He also has a graduate degree in mathematics. He speaks freely of Jew genetic-based spiritual superiority over non-Jews. It's a superiority that he asserts invests Jewish life with greater value in the eyes of the Torah. Quote, if you saw two people drowning, a Jew and a non-Jew, the Torah says you save the Jewish life first. And he goes on to say, as I quoted, he says, just incredible. He says, if a Jew needs a liver, you can take the liver of an innocent non-Jew passing by to save him. The Torah would probably permit that. Jewish life is an infinite value, he explained. There is something infinitely more holy and unique about Jewish life than non-Jewish life. So this is the sect, and this is the leader. These are the people who are now having meetings in the White House of the United States of America. And the man who they're honoring, Rabbi Schneerson, who told us about the satanic souls of Gentiles, and who told us about the purpose of Gentiles to serve Jews, and who told us that not only are Jews superior, the other peoples of the world are completely of a different species. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a science fiction kind of a world. The aliens have landed, ladies and gentlemen. We just don't know that they're here. And they basically dominate our media. They dominated our government. Why in the world don't you even know about this? The only article about the commemoration for Mr. Schneerson was in the Jewish Telegraph Agency. It wasn't in any daily paper in the United States. It wasn't on the evening news. No, they don't want you to know. How can they hide it from you? How could they hide this radical, extreme, supremacist organization being honored at the White House of the United States of America? The same White House where you have a president stand up and who condemns racism and who condemns discrimination, who defends any sort of supremacism. The same media which is always screaming about David Duke as a white supremacist, which I'm not one, by the way. I don't say anything like Rabbi Ginsberg. I don't say anything like Rabbi Schneerson. In fact, I condemn that kind of sentiment. And I tell you, that kind of sentiment in our own ranks, even for white activists, is something which is damaging. I'm consistent. I love my people. I love my heritage. I think all people have that right. And I respect all people. All peoples are not my people. People are different. People have different expressions of culture and life and government. And they have every bit of right to run their governments any way they see fit, and to follow whatever religious practices and beliefs that they want in their own nations. But let me tell you something. They don't have a right to control my country. And I've got a right to preserve my land, my cities, my nation, for the values of my forefathers and the values that I want my children to follow. No one in any Muslim nation would allow massive Christian immigration to the point that it would take over their government, change their songs, their schools, their values, whatever, restrict their liberties and their freedoms. No one would tolerate that. No one would. No Jew in Israel would tolerate the same thing coming from a Christian. Every people around the world are allowed to preserve their heritage, but we're not allowed to preserve our heritage. But let me tell you something. The Jewish supremacists are not only just trying to destroy European heritage. They see Europeans as a great competitor. They see us as an ancient enemy, actually. And if you read their books and their writings, and I have, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of volumes from Jewish authors, you'll see this incredible enmity toward Western civilization, toward Christianity. You can see it in their Talmud, page after page. You can see it in their publications. You can see it in the writings of this man being honored at the White House. But the ironic thing is, if we dare to even speak about this hatred, about this supremacy, then we are the ones called the haters. We're the ones called the bigot. But there's nothing remotely that I say that's anywhere nearly as radical as anything that Rabbi Schneerson has said or Rabbi Ginsburg has said. Now, I think if someone stole someone's liver, because he happened to need one from an innocent person, I think that person deserves the highest penalty of the law. He deserves the death penalty. That's the most evil thing that I could possibly think of, that someone would think that they would have that right. And it's just incredible the double standard that we have in the world today, and we have this Jewish supremacy operating, and nobody does anything about it. Nobody even dares speak about it. And, of course, that's understandable, because if they speak about it, then they're compared to people like David Duke, and then they're called a supremacist or something. They're called a supremacist by these guys. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been great to be with you. I look forward to a very exciting week of broadcasting to you all over the world. Thank you so much for your presence and support, and we need your support right now. Funds are very low, and some months we just don't make it. And, by the way, we had a good friend who left us a little bequest the other day. It's not going to be huge after the bills are paid, but I hope that some of you who appreciate this show and like what we're doing, you might include us in your will, in your insurance policies, whatever. That's one way you can help the cause even after you're gone. It's a legacy that will move on for yourself. And those of you who are alive and kicking, and I hope that a lot of you will give us some support and make this part of your life. If we're not successful, we're gonna lose our freedom, every principle our forefathers fought for in the United States, and really our European fathers fought for in terms of freedom and the right to preserve our heritage and our values and live as our fathers lived. We are being invaded. We have been invaded. We literally have the nexus of our communication media in this country now in the hands of people who don't like us, who have the same kinds of views that Rabbi Schneerson and Rabbi Ginsburg. And we're seeing our culture being shredded. We're seeing our art being shredded. We're seeing our music. We're seeing our children being taught that gangster rap is the musical style. We're losing it, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time to turn it all around. I'm doing everything that I can to do so. I hope you read and listen to the preface of Jewish supremacism, and I hope all of you will take some time to spread this message all over your neighborhoods and your cities and your world. Thanks so much. I'll be glad to be with you and looking forward to being with you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.com.